I wanna know why. What's going on in Africa? Can somebody please tell me? Hello and welcome to another edition of the program Rule of Law on Lux FM 106.6. Rule of Law is sponsored by the Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. On the Rule of Law, we spotlight the justice system and efforts being made to promote and enhance the rule of law in our one and only country, Liberia. Uriah Stoga is my name and I'm your usual host. Today on the program, we are going to be looking at the credibility of our courts, the qualification of our judges and court officials, the challenges and the current state of judicial reform after nearly two decades of lawlessness. We are also looking at the role of the Liberian National Police in crime tracking and investigation and the level of coordination between the LNP and the judiciary in fighting Liberia. To discuss these topics and other related matters, I've invited the Solicitor General of the Republic of Liberia, Councillor Tiawan Gunglo. Well, he has now come. He is on his way. Assistant Director of Police, CID, CIU, and Interpol, Commissioner Stephen Zago. Welcome, Mr. Zago.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Our phone lines will be open between 50 minutes into the program. So if you have a concern or contribution to make to the program, dial 057-64-246. That's 057-64-246. And the studio guests will address them. We'll be right back after our theme song.
Me people and suffer. Hey, it pains me as an African to see. And children dying from hunger. Oh, tell me why we kill each other when we're supposed to live together. Hold and love one another. Oh, yes, because we are all brothers. Oh, Lord.
Back to the program Rule of Law, the program sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. Like we said, Councillor Tiawan Gunglo is on his way. He will shortly join us. But in the meantime, we have in studio the Assistant Director of Police, CID, CIU, and Interpol, Commissioner Stephen Zago. And together we will be discussing the role of the Liberian National Police in crime tracking and investigation and the level of coordination between the LNP and the judiciary in fighting crime and enhancing the rule of law in Liberia. Commissioner Zago, you've just returned from the U.S., where you underwent some capacity building training with the FBI. You care to tell us a little bit about the training, the importance of that training, and how is expected to impact the rule of law in Liberia?
Again, thank you for the invitation. And whenever I'm on this campus, it reminds me of my days as a student here. Those days were challenging days. They were memorable and days that I would love. And moreover, I think today, issue of rule of law is the last before our independence celebration. So I want to seize this time to say happy independence to all of us in Liberia, especially to the President, Her Excellency, Madam Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, and Authority of the Justice Minister and the Liberian National Police Inspector General. again, I have had the opportunity to speak to a few radio stations, and this new question keeps coming up and up. The opportunity to go to the FBI was an opportunity every law enforcement personnel will wish along and dream for. It afforded me the time and opportunity to learn a whole lot of things, to include investigative techniques, management, and physical fitness. And those three major areas have prepared me to face the challenge head on, to work along with my colleagues, members of the Liberian National Police, and be able to find solution to our many criminal problems in Liberia.
But some would say, well, you are just an individual, and crime to a large extent has overwhelmed the Liberian society owing to our recent past, the bloody civil war, the prevalence of armed in our society, and so you are just one individual. What guarantees are there that you can impact the system to ensure that a crime is effectively combated?
In our society, like any other society, the most preferred methodology that has been applied by law enforcement practitioners the world over is crime prevention, which incorporates the community. Crimes are committed not in the headquarters of the Liberian National Police per se, but rather they are committed within the community, and they are committed by individuals who live and reside with us, some of whom are our relatives, friends, and loved ones. So then, my position, working along with all of members of the Liberia National Police, and this has been emphasized on numerous occasions by the Inspector General, that we cannot do it alone. If you look at the ratio of police officers as compared to our own population, close to 4 million, I mean, the ratio is a ratio of concern. Against this background, we have, over the period of time, even before I left for the FBI, engaged the community. You have the community forums. We go to each community within a week or month. The Inspector General of Police go there herself, her two deputy Inspector General, other commissioners. We go to communities, engage community members. Even when we went to Ghana, we had the head of the community watch team, the head of the community forum, being invited by the UN. He spoke, he presented paper, he had discussion, and we are partnering with the community. In the absence of the community, we just cannot be at our best. We not say we not perform, but we cannot be at our best because the police will not be omnipresent all over. It's only God that had our nature of being omnipresent. So we are trying to use the community. We have been doing it for a period of time, and we want to continue involving the community in the fight against crime.
Community involvement is something I have on the agenda. We will come to that, but let's talk a little bit about the capacity of the Liberia National Police. You have just returned from a training, and like I said, you are just an individual, and you said that that opportunity was enviable in itself. A lot of officers would have loved to go on that training, but they didn't go, and you were just an individual from the LMP who went to the FBI and brought back some level of expertise. What is the capacity of the police considering the prevalence of crime in Liberia today? What would you say is the capacity of the police as it relates to crime, if you were to compare the two?
If you talk about capacity, two things come to mind.
Yeah.
Academic, intellectual, and your capacity to deliver the goods and services. That capacity to deliver the goods and services is contingent on the instrumentality you need to deliver the services. We have the manpower. If you look at the leadership of the Liberia National Police, as evident of our crew all of Accra, when we had the workshop in Accra, I think in our partner within the UN circle have come to realize that the Liberia National Police Force has the requisite balance personnel to do the work. But again, how will we do the work adequately in the absence of those visiting that we need to work with?
Like what?
Again, there have been talk shows, numerous talk shows, the issue has been discussed again and again. Again, that does not mean that the government, in her weak way, is not doing her best. Like you already said, we have a protracted civil war. The government coffers have been empty for a period of time. The international partners are helping. Everything Liberia is a priority now. So how do you prioritize the priority? This is the major issue. So we have the requisite balance qualified personnel, and we do visiting that we need to deliver the goods if they are made available. And I'm grateful in as much as we may think that the crime rate is increasing. If you look at the proportion, it's really not increasing. There may be the reportage, which of course I encourage. However, with the qualified manpower we have, coupled with the logistics that we made available, I can assure you that we'll be able to deliver the goods and services as is required of all per the Constitution, per our statutory functions and responsibility.
You emphasize logistics, logistical support to the LMP. Can I infer from all that you've said that the LMP does, because it lacks the level of support that it should have, probably because the government has a number of problems or a number of priorities right now. Because of this lack of logistics, the police is not fully capacitated to combat crimes right now. Can we say that?
You are at liberty to say that. I mean,
I'm looking for your opinion.
My opinion is what I've expressed earlier. But however, I have said again and again, we have the capacity. We have the personnel to deliver the goods. And there are things we need to work with. If the visiting are made available to us, Then our Liberian people perform their civic duty and responsibility as a citizen of Liberia. You are under a moral obligation to help the police perform her tasks. You are to give all those information that we need to work with. Like I told you earlier, police cannot be omnipresent. Police cannot be all over all of the time. We can be to some area, but not all of the time. It is you who are the major stakeholder in the fight against crime. It is you that should partnership. It is you that should work alone. It is you that we should in totality work for the general good of this country we all love. This country that should be 161 years old within the next 70 years. We need to work together. We need a partnership. We need to be conscientized. We need to know that this is the country we all love. This is the country that we have to uphold. Excluding Liberia, you have nowhere that you relax and feel good where your rights and responsibility and duty will be upheld and respected. This is the country we all love. And in other countries, I went to the state, like you already said, the FBI Academy. What I saw there is the partnership. The average American gives the police the kind of information they need. And because they have the kind of information they need, and because they have the right and good logistics to work with, they are in opposition to deliver the goods. If they do not deliver the goods, then the American people or those who are the stakeholders will say, but God, we have given you the training, we have given you the logistics, what, and we are giving necessary information to work with. What haven't you give us the result?
Okay, so community policing, police working with the community. You give an analogy about the United States of America, where people work closely with you in our setting. That brings me to my other point, the credibility of the police. And most people you talk to, they believe the police lacks the credibility. I'm not sure, but maybe it's because of the past. People still judge the police based on the past. Do you think the police is now credible enough to work with the people? Should people really open up to the police and see the police as their friend and partner in combating crimes?
I will emphatically say yes, we have credibility. We grew all of an agreement from Accra. The United Nations Resolution 1509-2003 gave rise to the formation of an interim arrangement. And that interim arrangement was agreed in Accra that a component part of the police be disbanded, and that a vetting and a retraining of the police be instituted. It was against that background we have what you call United Nations Police Organization, UNPO. UNPO have come, and UNPO have not only played a secondary role, but play a primary role in the vet, in the recruitment, in the training, and in the placement of personnel. So with all of this, you still say put it on credit, and now credible. We are credible. However, even those of our own male brother who have come far and wide in their respective homes and countries, there are problems. The police did not evolve. The police did not fall from the sky. The police came from the ordinary citizenry. We are Liberians. The police would not be on the extreme, the citizenry on the other end. We evolve, and because we came from the Liberian people, there will be problems. We agree. We have been at war 14 plus years. And those are the years that the locals have eaten. And to regain that, you need time, you need effort, you need pain. I'd say that everything in Liberia has become like a priority. You call the public health ministry, you tell you, ours is a priority. The justice ministry will tell you, ours is a priority. The ministry of health will tell you, and you need me in our foreign service. Everything has gone down, and everything has become a priority. So our performance over the period of time has just not been seen easily because it looks like a macrocosm, it looks smaller, so you don't really see it. But gradually over a period of time, the Solicitor General, I'm glad that he's come here. He has told you again and again, I have listened to your news stations, printing, electronic media, that our prosecution rate have improved. And on the anti-corruption index, Liberia have been elevated. It tells you that we are working. How did we go to the stage we are in? How you now have into place an effective and efficient police organization? It is because we are working. The layman is seeing in the blue and white out there. The man is seeing the navy blue. His contribution with all of us and that of the Inspector General of Police make Liberia to take the stage at which she is now when it comes to the fight against anti-corruption. So indeed, we are credible.
The voice of Commissioner Steven Zago. He's the Assistant Director of Police, CID, CIU, and Interpol. We are discussing together the role of the Liberia National Police in crime tracking and investigation and the level of coordination between the LNP and the judiciary in fighting crime and enhancing the rule of law in Liberia. We still await the arrival of Liberia Solicitor General Councilor Tiawon Gonglo. He will be giving us more insight on the credibility of our courts, the qualification of our judges and court officials, the challenges and the current state of judicial reform after nearly two decades of civil lawlessness. Decades of lawlessness, that is. And the program is Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. The phone lines are now open. You can call 057-64-246, 057-64-246 to participate. Probably you have a concern, you have an idea that can help us to enhance the rule of law in our common patrimony, Liberia. Commissioner Zago is here and he will address himself to those concerns as we await the arrival of Solicitor General Tiawon Gonglo. Commissioner Zago, let's talk about crime tracking and investigation. If you talk about the United States of America, where you've just come from, I'm sure that was part of your training. Preemptive strike. What are some of the mechanisms are being put in place by the Liberia National Police to track crime before we can even talk about investigation? Preemptive strike to see what happens before it happens.
I'm so glad for this question because I have wanted to even answer it before it came. Preemptive strikes, tracking crime. You talk about the intelligence, the data collection. That is a matter of concern to not only Liberia National Police, but all our security sector. Because I have read one or two documents from the security bureau. To be able to have an enhanced criminal investigation, you have to track the crime. You have to filter in those information that you need to synthesize. Then when you synthesize the information, then become intelligence. Then when you become intelligent, then your investigation becomes an intelligent-driven investigation.
Okay.
An intelligent-driven investigation gives rise to a prosecutor-guided investigation. Those are major concerns. And those are issues, those are children that they put together that we need the totality of all of them to be able to perform in a way and manner that the Liberian people will see and give us a multi-hand clap. How do you track crime? You need the sophistication. How do you gather intelligence? You need information. You need devices to work with. In the absence of information, in the absence of those devices, how do I know money is being trafficked from a drug source to one of our banks here? How do I track the information? I need intelligence. I need information. We need a combined effort of not only national security actors.
Do we have all of those in place?
We do not have all of those things.
We still
in the absence of that, you know, in the absence of them, we are performing to the extent that the Solicitor General have said that our prosecution rate has improved. And today, I am informed, I'm glad that Liberia has been elevated on the index of the fight against corruption. In the absence of those basic things that we need to work with, we have made the achievement, the hallmarks. I bet you, if they are made available, we could come second to none in West Africa, if not the first in Africa. You count on me on that.
But tracking crime, preemptive strike, going after the criminals before they make their moves is very important in tackling crime. But from what you've said, the police lacks the ability to do just that. Where does that leave the rule of law? Where does that leave us?
It leaves or lay dent on the rule of law. Okay. Regrettably, I should say it. It could come from horse's mouth. Is it because if those business things I just spoke of are made available, I will have a device. Maybe I have a lie detector. I will have a tracking device. I will have the instrument to determine counterfeit or not. And I will have the totality of the involvement of everyone. There should be an integrated approach in combating organized crime and tracking criminal activity. There are institutions in Liberia. There are people in Liberia, when you go to them for information, they withhold information. They deny you the information. And we need that musician that will perform our tasks in the absence of information.
State-run
institutions. And I'm telling you, both state and private-run institutions. And they honor moral and legal obligation to give us information that we need for the good of all of us. If you withhold on information, how do I conduct an investigation in the absence of information that need to strengthen my case? If I don't have the information, I can't perform magic.
But you have
I need those information to be able to give an intelligent layer questions to whoever has been accused. In the absence of that, you may have more acquittals. And again, on our law, the burden of proof lies with the accuser. He who accuses must prove. If you cannot prove, the man goes scot-free. And scholars in law enforcement who have said that it's better to let 10 guilty persons go free than to let one innocent man suffer. And against that background, our constitution is one of the constitutions in the world that have incorporated the entire Bill of Rights. We speak to the rights, dignity of people. Liberia is a signatory to almost all of the conventions. You have the JPC, you have the Human Rights, you name it. They are flowing into our offices at our substations. We are not detaining people again above the 72-hour, 48-hour requirement. The JPC can tell you that. Even Dexter Brown, you heard him recently, he speaks well of the police. And tell you that we are democratizing our own police work, which is the core of the Liberian people. And we are adhering to what Liberian people want us to do. But then we are turning them our own part. There's a bargain. Play your part, we'll play our part. Our part is that we got the 3-man power. We got the leadership to perform the task. All we are saying, care for the issue, work along with us. And if we go bad, you can boo us. If we go great, help us. And I must make this emphatically clear that we created the police. The police did not fall from the sky. So you cannot, our traditional people say, you cannot dress the devil and you bring in the crowd and you bring the devil shame. So the police is your children, your daughters, your brothers. They were vectored from and amongst the Liberian people. Questions were asked. Inquiry were made. Posters were placed up. You were asked questions. Most of them say, oh, these guys are good guys. So what did he expect the police? Oh, God, they deny me my civil liberty. I'm a Liberian. I need to be employed. I'm above 18 years. I'm a high school graduate. These are the things we need to do. And if we can do them, I can tell you that, like I told you earlier, we're going to be not only the best in West Africa, but I can tell you the best in Africa.
Okay. Before we come to investigation, you keep revolving and revolving around this of cooperation from the public. You keep coming to that. So it seems very, very important.
Indeed it is.
Okay. Since it seems lacking that there is no or the kind of the expected level of cooperation from the public to the police, could we be, or let me put it this way, what measures are the police putting in place to win the confidence of the public so that that level of coexistence exists?
What measures?
Yeah.
What we are doing at this studio now is one.
Okay.
Just a fortnight ago, the Deputy Inspector General of Police and I and our President of Public Affairs Commissioner colleague were at Star Radio. What we are saying, in an attempt to solve this problem, we are asking print and electronic media avail themselves to us to be able to say the good things that we have done. I'm waiting for invitations to come and discuss issues. The President of Public Affairs told me in 2 days to this program, and you came to me just a few hours ago and I told you to come. I want to come and I'm here. And I'm telling you what is happening. You came, you saw my office door. Was it closed or open?
Open.
Open. It tells you that we have adapted our policy. Even if you go to the Inspector General Police office, our office door is open. We cannot be all over at the same time. If the Liberian people see certain things that are going wrong and they are unhappy, and they know that that unhappiness may turn them against the police, let them call us, let them write us, let them raise the issues. But again, let raise issue intelligently. Let raise issue that we can be able to substantiate. Don't just go for wild goose chase or wild goose allegation that you can't prove. You should be able to prove. We had a situation recently with a few of our officers who were charged and sent to court, crowing all of a complaint filed against them by not even a Liberian, but however, an African. You saw what we did. We were rapid. There were those who said, what they do? We had to do that. We did not want to be seen compromising wrongdoing. So for that, we took the necessary action befitting the situation. Some of our brothers in the print media came up with a different story. We have engaged in, and we have thought that the clarification we have come up with would have been much more clearer. But again, they did not get the kind of desired result that we wanted. However, there were inconsistencies from all up in the public at all. We arrest those who were distributing the leaflets around. We said we're not going to do that because they have been a long time in this country. People have not enjoyed the kind of democracy they are enjoying today. So they are overwhelmed. I'm happy for them to be overwhelmed. However, let not your officers have done good. And many of our officers, they have been doing good.
Okay. And many of the officers of the Liberia National Police have been doing good. We're really happy to hear that because that's true. Liberians ought to be... to befriend the Liberia National Police because they are our own people. We will be going for our very short musical break. When we come back, we'll be looking at the investigative aspect of the rule of law as it relates to the Liberia National Police. We still await the arrival of Councillor Tiawan Gonglo, Liberia's Solicitor General. He assured us that he will be here even though he will be a little bit late. So if you want to call and participate, just call 057-64246 Commissioner Zako is here to address your concerns or your questions or your suggestions as we all fight to improve the rule of law in Liberia. The program is Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. And I'm Uriah Stuga, your regular host. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break.
I've been sitting here for many days now. They've been looking for me for many days too. From where I'm sitting, I can see the endless faces. It's only a matter of time.
The voice of the late South African reggae star Lucky Dube with that song Fugitive. Let's not be fugitive of the law. Let's be law abiding. Let's respect the rule of law so as to build Liberia in a very constructive way for the betterment of society, for our children and children to come. We have in studio the assistant director of Liberia National Police, CID, CIU, and Interpol, Commissioner Stephen Zako, and together we are discussing the role of the Liberia National Police in crime tracking investigation, level of coordination between the LNP and the judiciary in fighting crime and enhancing the rule of law in Liberia. We still await the arrival of Councillor Tiawan Gonglo, Liberia's Solicitor General. Meanwhile, we go ahead with our discussion. Let's come back to investigation. Investigation plays an important role, I believe, in the rule of law, because you have to go down into these cases that come across you every day. How equipped are your investigative duties?
And again, the government has, in this direction, done what is required for, and like I said earlier, almost everything in Liberia is a priority. So all of the focus cannot be on the Liberia National Police alone. And on the aspect of investigation, that is very cardinal and key to a successful prosecution.
Okay.
And on our law, two things obtains. You lodge a complaint to the police, either formal or informal, or you walk to a police depot or substation. And again, recently, the Justice Ministry has said that cases going to court should be initiated by the police. That is, it should be investigated. Then our investigation informs the judges in their own determination how they will proceed. Against this background, investigation is very cardinal because within the investigation, you are able to determine whether or not a complaint has been lodged against an individual person or persons, if that complaint is true or it lacks truth. And there are some people who are good at creating falsehood. And when falsehood are reported, we check what you call alibi to determine whether or not that information is true. If you lodge a complaint against, save me for example, Zago, that at about 5:30, Zago was at the finance ministry in the controller's office, burglarizing the safe or whatsoever there. And you know that at 5:30, I'm seated at Lux in Tenbury and radio station. So that's an alibi that I will come up with my alibi indicating that the information that is given is false and misleading. So investigation is very cardinal. You need intelligent people to investigate. Investigation is not a small ball game. It's a game of more likelihood that if all of what I have just said happens, the desired result would be successful conviction. And we have, over the period of time, tried to do that. I have been the chief of intelligence for Liberian National Police for 2 years. I served as chief investigator for 3 years. I served as the chief of anti-robbery unit for 5 years. I served as the chief of burglary, anti-theft, and you name it. I have worked in all of those sections. And moreover, with my own legal background, then my investigation is an investigation that is intelligent led and that is prosecution guarded. And because of that, the result we get most of the time are successful results. In the midst of what I've just said earlier, that we like those business things that if they are made available, couple of what I just told you. And again, I will say this again and again that we will not be second, we will not be the next in West Africa, but we'll be the best in Africa.
The voice of Assistant Director of Police, CRD, CRU, and Interpol Commissioner Stephen Zago. We have been joined by Liberia's Solicitor General, Councillor Tiawon Gonglo. Welcome, Councillor.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for being late, but there are too many competing activities, and each of them is so important. So.
We had
a meeting scheduled.
We're happy to have you here, sir. We are going far into our program, so we would not waste time. Let's ask you, sir. I have with me a piece of document from the Ministry of Justice and Carter Center. And what it says, among other things, is the lack of confidence in the national justice system is to a large extent responsible for lawlessness or rule of law. I'm not sure if that judgment is based on our past or the present, but where do we stand? Where does our national justice system stand right now? Is there enough credibility?
I think the confidence level is increasing. And the way we know is the number of persons who are coming into our prison system, are going to come into the courts. People are now for crimes, a lot of people are reporting cases to the police. Police is processing people and bringing them to court. And then the court is, admitting people to bail, and those who can afford the bail requirement, they are going to jail. So that is a show of increasing confidence in the justice system. When I was here the last time, I gave you some statistics of our prosecution. Saying that in 2006 we prosecuted 66 cases and 154, lost 12. In 2007 the number increased, it jumped more than 100% to 135 criminal cases that were prosecuted throughout the country, and we won 105 and lost 30. So this kind of increase is not an indication that there is not an increased confidence in the justice system. As I speak to you, I'm putting together the statistics for the midterm, two terms of court this year. But there are some major landmark cases that were won by government through, I mean, in different parts of the country. We've won several murder cases, but some cases that are clearly against impunity do stand out, like the case of the burning of the police station in Tapeta. We just won that case last week in San Nicolas. The people who burned the police station that led to the death of one inmate are now serving life sentence. They have been found guilty and are serving life sentence. We will not condone arbitrariness or adapting redress processes that are inconsistent with the law. You have to respect the police. You have to respect the police office and police officers and their decisions. You can contest their decisions through the court of law or through administrative process, but you cannot adopt an arbitrary means to challenge their decisions that then lead to the violation of the law, as it happened in Tapeta. Also, there are traditional practices that tend to undermine the justice system. Instead of taking cases to police, there's theft, and people say they will bring Sasiwo player to determine who actually did the killing, the stealing. And if somebody is missing on the road to the farm, they want to, instead of getting police to investigate in the case of a missing person, they want to bring Sasiwo, and then they say there are some witchcrafts that are responsible. In the process, rights of people are violated. We have a case coming that came out of Bar, where a clan chief and some elders invited two Sasiwo players from across the border in Africa Coast who came and adopted a very cruel and inhumane process of stripping elderly people naked, rubbing pepper on diverse parts of their bodies, including their genitals. And one of the victims died a month later, 2 weeks to a month later. We charged some of them with murder. They got an acquittal, but then we charged the clan chief and the other elders because the Sasiwo players themselves escaped to Ivory Coast with official oppression. There is a law in our criminal statute that protects the rights of people. If you're an official of government or a responsible person in any authority, I mean, in an important post in our governmental system, and you take decisions that leads to the mistreatment of people, violation of their rights in all kinds of forms, subjecting people to cruelty, like if police officers engage in torture in the process of obtaining evidence, that is a violation of the law. That's official oppression. That's abuse of public office. We charged a clan chief from Butuo era with some other elders, and they were also found guilty. That is a major case against impunity, where people will use their offices and do things and get by. So those are two major cases. We won several rape cases, murder cases during this term. Of course, there's a murder case that we just won in Sino, all over the place. But you know, there are some cases that stand up. Like if you go and attack a police station, this is one clear conviction out of that. It's important for the public to know that no matter how long it takes, the rule of law is going to be, is going to track you down, and you will be held accountable. We are strong in there, and I think the evidence is clear that nobody's above the law. We've had some of our officials of government, you know, in high places answering the call of justice themselves. And that is, these are the kind of things that is sort of driving the confidence in the justice system, because they see even-handedness, even the police subjecting some of his own people to the criminal justice system, investigating, charging them, sending them, it's surprising that instead of the public applauding the police, commending them, that the police is trying to get the bad apples out, those who malign the image of the police, that people misguidedly, in fact, some of the criminal elements in the population now going out and calling police people rogues and calling them criminals, whereas police is acting courageously by looking at itself inwardly and sort of getting identifying those who are the criminal elements amongst them. I think it's wrong for some people in the public to engage in collective guilt by holding all police officers guilty of the crime of robbery just because a few of them have been identified, not by anybody else, but by themselves. So, you know, the police should be applauded for that.
Okay. The courts still, because the court play an integral a role in enhancing the rule of law in Liberia.
Right.
You spoke in Maba Point at a one-day roundtable conference on access to justice. The associate justice was also there, Cabinet Janet, and the both of you spoke on something that was similar. The court associate justice, Cabinet Janet, said that from a survey conducted, it was established that most of those handling court matters are fall below sixth grade, and to some extent, there are some who cannot even read or write. So I want us to talk a little bit about how does that affect the credibility of the court, and then also the fact that there are no courts in some parts of Liberia, rural parts of Liberia. Where does that leave people in those parts of the country?
Well, it's true. I mean, there are all kinds of challenges besides the fact that there is an absence of courts in different parts of the country, police stations. We have all these logistical challenges, infrastructural challenges. We don't have courthouses. We don't have police stations. We don't even have detention centers in many places. So the police, even where it does its work, the court does its work. There is a place to detain pre-trial detainees. There should be. If you don't have that, it is unlawful to return them to the police station after they've been charged by the court. You know, if you're trying to get it right. So that is a problem. But now, resources, when you compare putting a clinic, a school, or a detention center, the community will go for a clinic immediately, followed by a school. You know, and before they would even think about a police station, even though they want protection, then if there's some resources, you talk hard before they say detention center. Sometimes people say, "But well, just let the accused die," you know, something. But everyone accused of crime is presumed innocent, you know. So that these are some of the challenges. Besides, there are some places in this country where the nearest police station, people walk 8 hours to get to, or the nearest magistrate court or so.
So what do people in those kind of communities do?
Where the crime is, people already know what to do. If there's murder, for example, the citizens will arrest, their citizen arrest permitted under our law, bring the person to the township or so. The township then gets his messenger and other people to escort that person to the nearest police station, and then the police then will do criminal investigation because they don't have the authority to do that.
But have we done enough awareness? Have we done enough awareness to facilitate that kind of process?
In my view, even as a child growing up, way in the interior, that's what they did all along. Our people know that. They know that they cannot deal with murder cases. They know that they cannot deal with, you know, serious theft cases. For stealing chicken and day in a village, they can do the traditional justice mechanism. There can be some, you know, mediation to it. And I don't think that is something that we frown on. But for serious offenses, someone committing aggravated assault, you know, attempted murder and all of that, manslaughter, they will always refer to the competent authority. And that's where people like you, the media people, should help us to do. I'm sure this avenue is to just do that. That for serious offenses, people should refer them to the nearest police station. They can keep the person, and the next day, escort the person to the nearest police station. Only police can determine whether a crime has been committed under our law. Ordinary people, things that seem to be crime may not be crime. You know, because we have infractions that the police can just deal with, minimum, you know, sometimes there are some things like loitering, you can keep the person in a cell, and overnight, the next morning, you can let a person go, you can advise people, and you can also take them to the magistrate to pay the minimum fine. But, you know, infraction is not like a crime. It's an offense, but it's not a crime, so it's not serious, and those kind of things can be dealt with. But I think that I'm satisfied from where I sit at the level of growing interest in the justice system. You normally hear now people saying, I will take you to court, or I'll take you to a police station. That is a vote of confidence. And we, cases like the refugee case, and now the case from Nimba, is sort of is serving as a deterrent for unlawful and unconstitutional traditional justice mechanism like SASU. You know, now we've convicted a local government authority, a clan chief, for ordering the administration of SASU that led to the violation of the rights of some Liberian citizens. We have 14 young men in jail who justified the killing of 6 Liberian citizens by the traditional method of SASU. They are serving life sentence. These are good guideposts. These are good benchmarks, good landmark cases that advocates can then use to educate people that do this, because if you don't do it, the law will hold you accountable.
Liberia's Solicitor General Counselor Tiawan Gonglo, the program is Rule of Law, sponsored by Carter Center in collaboration with the Ministry of Justice. We are slipping fast into our close-up time. But let me ask Commissioner Zago one question. The Inspector General of Police at a press conference this week said that the police was getting frustrated with court officials or the courts. Criminals were collected, sent to court, and they were just being released on little or nothing.
Let me deal with that.
Okay,
let me deal with that, because that comes to my door.
All right.
You know, we have to be courageous, and I like to use the police ethical words, the words in the code of conduct, maintaining courageous calm in the face of danger. I don't think the danger is merely always physical. Sometimes there are risky conditions, there are situations in life that you just have to say, this is the way to go. Now, our laws have two classes of high serious offenses. One, billable offenses, and two, non-billable offenses. Somebody can be admitted to bail. So the police are doing its work, and they are doing a commendable work by getting people processed and taking them to court. But the law, our lawmakers also provided for bail for people. So if you take people to court and they can afford to be bailed and they get out, we should not frown at the court. The court is doing its work. That unless we change the law. Now, I mean, when there was outcry, and for example, the armed robbery law, there was unanimity of views on it, both in the legislature and the public, and we made it non-billable. You know, that is the law. Until the court, is challenged and the court maintains that or changes it, that is the law. So that has made that non-billable. We have murder. Difficult to build. Rape, statutory rape, we've graduated to the level of making it difficult to build. These are all there's no foolproof that all of these issues will stop crime, but these are methods that have been tried. But for offenses that, as a matter of course, are billable and you don't even need anything about filing a motion for bail hearing, if the magistrates release them on bail, it is our role as prosecution to see the bail, to challenge them, and to go to court. We succeeded sometimes in setting bonds aside. But yes, our laws were made for peacetime in the 70s, when Liberia was rated as the most stable country in Africa, the most peaceful country. And that was one of our incentives for investment in this country, a country where there had been no war at that time, no coup d'etat, nothing. So we are in a process of law reform. We're doing it gradually. We've done the rape. Now we've done something about armed robbery, changed the definition of armed robbery to include cutlasses and all that, because in the past, cutlass was not used as an instrument of crime. We've done the acid. Now we've thought ahead to even add chemical weapons and different things. So we've done that. But to the extent that we haven't changed the law, when the magistrates or judges act and put people in bill, that is the law.
Commissioner Sako, you want to add something to that?
Yes, I understand and appreciate the fact that the Solicitor General could come in to specifically address that issue. And I also want to seize the opportunity to also welcome the Solicitor General in. He's a big brother and a role model. However, I also understand the frustration of the Inspector General. She's the head of that agency that is charged with the responsibility to conduct investigation, perfect charges, and then the court go and testify as either expert witness or as an investigator. But then the view the Inspector General expressed is a view that that mirrors the frustration of many of our ordinary citizenry out there who do not understand how the court functions.
Yeah.
For them, when they bring in an accused person to the police station, or based on their complaint and an accused person is arrested and brought to the police station, and maybe they come to help with the investigation, a few hours, 48 hours in the court, then maybe 1 hour or maybe 40, any minute or hours in between or days in between that they are released, they're like, wow, the police has released the person. Not understand that the police is a component part of this justice system. We are the input component. The court determines the merit and demerit of what we send over to them. Then the correction or the coroner prison do rehabilitation and do what you call correction. But the ordinary man don't understand that. He sees everything within the justice system as a major component part of the police.
Mm-hmm.
So that is their frustration. So it is from that point of view the Inspector General spoke.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clearly, I mean, she spoke from the expressing the reaction to the anger of the public.
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, we have to do a lot of public education because each of us, when we are caught in crime situation, whether it's true or not, we want the opportunity to file criminal appearance bond too. And each time when you are caught and you have the opportunity of filing, you feel that justice is done to you. Whereas the person who is accusing you feels justice is not done to him or her because you are walking out. But, you know, depending on how you look at it, one person, if you ask two persons, the person accused of crime and the person who is a victim of crime or is alleging that crime has been committed against him or her, both of them will have two different views. But that is how the society is. Until our lawmakers change things, or until we make them to change things, the police is not doing anything wrong. The police is doing its work. Its work is to investigate and charge people and send them to court.
Okay.
And when they go to court, the public, the victims and witnesses should cooperate to get the prosecutions going on. Prosecutors are not magicians. And police officers are most often secondary witnesses because they are testifying for what they receive during investigation. There are witnesses to crimes who would not come out. And when you don't come out, you strengthen the criminal. You and then he comes right back at you. So people should cooperate to make Liberia crime free. The community has the number one responsibility and the police has the number two responsibility. Because if they don't say that crime has been committed, the police will never know.
Okay. Councillor Gongo, we have run far out of time. I wish we had enough time to discuss with you, and we hope we can have you back here another time. But there's just one final thing I would like to ask you, and I would appreciate if you can just be as brief as possible. You made a statement recently that sparked a lot of controversy when you cautioned Liberians to stay off the streets late at night to avoid being attacked by criminals. Was that statement a strategy to minimize or to cut down the crime rate, or was it to say that government had lost the fight against crime?
No, it's interesting. I mean, I like the freedom of expression in this country, the way it's being exercised. Just people, you know, even doctors tell you certain things, your eating habit and all of that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they have lost the ability to heal you, all right? The police officers, police administration in many countries will give you crime alert. I work in the criminal justice system. I'm the head of prosecution department of the government. And I say, for the crimes that are committed, dead bodies being seen here, people getting missing. Don't be in an isolated place in the dark alone after midnight. What are you doing out after midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, alone? Suppose something happens to you, who's going to be your witness? The presence of people is a deterrent. In that interview, one young man from Nucretan said, but no armed robbery takes place in Nucretan, nobody dies. I said, yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. People are out in Nucretan almost 24 hours. So criminals like to get by. It's the same thing I'm saying, that the responsibility for combating crime is number one with the community and even with the individual potential victims, and number two with the police, because you call in police after you have been attacked. So it still boils down to the same thing. My putting responsibility for combating crime to the community is consistent with my earlier statement that I try to prevent crime by not being seen in an absolute place.
So you have no regrets for those remarks?
Never. I always think very carefully about what I say to the public, because I respect members of the public. The things I don't know, I don't talk about. The things I know, when I speak about it, I don't withdraw my statement.
Okay. Labrador Solicitor General, Commissioner Zako, any final word just in 10 seconds?
My final word is that let the public out there work with us. Let them give us information. With the information we get from the public, we'll be able to strengthen our investigation and be able to get a kind of a conviction that we need.
I also want to say that Liberians, in building a strong Republic of Liberia, where they show love of country and high level patriotism, they must begin to learn to respect the officials of the government, especially people, the police officers. If the police officers say, for example, don't go over there, don't go there, what if there's a bomb? You know, you must learn to respect, you know, for your own safety, what the police says, because they always know more than you know.
Okay.
And that's people like us know a lot about what is happening in crime than the ordinary person in the public knows. So when we see something, say, they're not true. On what basis? Okay.
Liberia Solicitor General Tewon Gunglo ending this edition of Lux Aba, I'm sorry, the program Rule of Law. Our news is up next, so I'm thinking about the news. We also had in studio Commissioner Stephen Zago, the Assistant Director of Police for CID, CRU, and Interpol. He was here with us also. We were discussing the qualification of our judges, our court officials, the challenges, and the current state of judicial reform in our country. The program has been The Rule of Law. Join us next week for another edition of the program. My name is Urias Toga. Have a good day.